Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome along to the Keith Andrews Show. We will be chatting, obviously, Ireland v Denmark, Ireland v Wales. We'll also catch up on a bit of a quarterly championship chat that Joe is really looking forward to. And in that note, Joseph has joined us again. I think this is going to be week two of three in a row, isn't it?
Two in a row. Is it three in a row?
I think you're going. You're in for three, aren't you?
I'll tell what? You what,
some people get lucky.
What?
And then there's Joe.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Wait, that's all you said in the office beforehand.
No, it's true. It's an interesting 2 weeks to be here. Yeah. We could be sitting here next Thursday in the midst of a crisis, or things may be feeling a whole
See,
lot better.
We didn't want to start the show in that kind of
or
way,
I
did
said,
we?
Or I said we could be feeling a whole lot better about the situation.
Or we could be the exact same, which is a little bit ugh.
Unsure and ugh, yeah.
Before we start, I'd like to congratulate my co-host today, Mr. Joseph Malloy. You won a little award last week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't be... No, hang on a minute. No, I wasn't invited. That was it. That was a small difference. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. Cheers. Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was good.
Was it?
We're all getting a bit sensible, you know.
Really?
I mean, these
what
things,
time was bed?
It was about 2:15, but I was up at 8. I was out the door. I was gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably to Mount Juliet.
These things... No, I wasn't actually. I wish. These things... You know, it's 800 people who work in radio. Imagine the amount of just people talking over each other. Imagine the amount of people who like the sound of their own voice. Just the sound of chat.
It was a good night, though.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great night. Yeah, it was
good. Okay, and you beat Nathan again.
Which was the best part.
Yeah,
winning the thing is fine. It's actually Nathan having to go, congratulations. And
you
just
really, like,
the look
grip your hands strongly? Or
No. It's because it's a congrats.
Floppy?
Yeah, floppy.
Never floppy just, like the Carlsberg ad.
It's the look deep in the soul that makes me feel happy.
All right, moving on.
All right, come on. Stop this.
Right, so Denmark, Wales. I think we need to kick off with the conversation we just had in the office. Been a relatively good week build up, fairly low key. I was in agreement, and then you came along with your bag of grenades and went, but.
Well, I didn't. I was actually going to come in and say, I think they've managed the week very well from a media point of view, because the last number of weeks have obviously been a shit show on a number of fronts, and I was curious to see how they would handle this week. And often we get Martin up one day and then Roy up another day and then maybe another bite of the cherry Martin on the day before the match and then various players. What they decided to do this week, which maybe wasn't a bad move under the circumstances between Harry Arter and Declan Rice and various things, was just yesterday, the day before yesterday, it feels like the days are passing quickly, the day before yesterday, an open training session at the Aviva, kids come along and they put up a raft of players, some of them embargoed, it would bleed out across the week. But just Martin do his 10, 12 minutes. You know, last week the nonsense of being doorstepped. I mean, he had to be doorstepped. The journalists were doing their job. News had broken. But that whole mess over the Declan Rice thing, we were live on air as it was all kicking off. So it's just messy. So this week was much cleaner and they weren't all over the back pages. They haven't been all week. It's been a nice, quiet week. And I thought, that's good, you know. And then I was looking at the Irish Independent website. They went back and looked through the Roy Keane interview done in the last week or so on the Nottingham Forest television station.
The crybabies interview,
which
got all the headlines.
And it made headlines for the crybaby situation. But they dug out quotes which I don't think sit brilliantly, you know. So it's Roy talking about his prospects managing going forward. The standout line is, well, in fairness to him, he says, I don't network. In terms of looking for a club job, he says, I just focus.
Surprise you.
No, I would think he would see that as a bit dishonest. So I actually buy it. I don't think he does do that. I think he would see it as a bit sleazy to be shaking hands and rubbing shoulders with the hobnobs. I think that wouldn't be his bag. I genuinely don't.
Yeah, I agree.
So he said, the idea that I'd be looking at a club and thinking I fancy that one and networking, I wouldn't do that. He says, I focus on the job at hand, and that's a big one with Ireland. And you think, that's great.
Agreed.
Exactly what you want to hear. His next line is the one that's made headlines today. But hopefully soon, and they're the two key words. Hopefully soon, I'd like to become a manager again and we'll see what happens. It's just about getting that offer and the challenge that will rock my boat. Now, maybe in Roy Keane's world, soon means after the next 2-year campaign. Mm. In my world, it means...
Imminently.
Come and get me. That's how I would interpret that. I don't think it's great. It doesn't sit well with me. I don't think he should be saying hopefully soon on television. Like, how that's markedly better than not networking. Yeah. I don't know. You're going on television and you're saying hopefully soon I'll get a job I like.
This is similar to Martin. And I know a lot's been made about performances, the last two competitive ones in particular, which we're going to get stuck into with the Denmark and the Welsh game on the horizon. But it's a similar story with Martin with the Stoke saga from January. Mm. And that was one of the biggest things that didn't sit well with me. The fact that we'd all been suffering from November through Christmas. This comes out in January where Martin's flirting with the idea of going back into club football, which it has to be said, at the time was his prerogative, but it was the whole silence from the FAI, silence from Martin, and even the way it eventually got dealt with didn't leave a particularly nice taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
So you don't want to hear this, in all honesty, from Roy, do you really? Because they've only signed a contract a matter of months ago, and everything's not rosy in the garden. Mm. So we don't want their assistant manager with one eye potentially off the ball looking at a club route.
Certainly publicly.
Yeah.
I have no problem if Roy Keane is privately with his family saying, look, or even with Martin, look, if something good comes along, I'm going to go. Mm. You know, and we saw the Aston
Which was probably
thing.
The plan right from the off.
Totally fair enough.
Comes back in, reinvents himself to a degree.
Yeah.
In the spotlight, gets his press conferences, which get a lot of coverage. Mm. So he's constantly in the headlines as the assistant manager. So we always kind of knew, but it's the timing, and you've hit the nail on it, saying it publicly.
He knows the game. Mm. He knows how this works. This is like sending an email to everybody saying, if you're looking for a manager, I'm interested, I'm ready to go. So, you know, it doesn't leave a great taste. It's not a massive issue. I don't think it affects what's going to happen on the pitch at the weekend. Most of the players may not even see this story. It's just when you think about how you want the manager and his assistant to carry themselves in the job, you would like to feel they are like James McLean. You'd like to feel they are in this. And to quote James, you'd have to put a gun to their head to stop them turning up for the next 2 years. You'd love him to say there, we're in this for the next 2 years. Yeah. The reason we didn't take Stoke is we are in this. I'm desperate, desperate, desperate to get back to another European Championships. That is my main aim. And then I'll be 49 and then it might be time to go elsewhere and get a job. But we are in this. I'm going nowhere for the next 2 years. Yeah. Maybe that's asking too much.
So
it's not great.
So where are you then? We're both big fans, obviously. Where are your expectation levels going into these two games? Because let's not forget, the last two have been disaster against these two teams. Christian Eriksen missing. It's just a game changer. Say,
it's a pre-Eriksen and pre-Bale situation. And
Bale, we think, is the latest is 50-50. I think he's going to play.
Okay.
Whether he'll be fully fit, I don't know.
Yeah.
But Eriksen missing, I think, makes Denmark one-dimensional. And it's an absolute level playing field.
Okay.
Still have some good players, like Sisto.
Yeah.
But he is the jewel in the crown, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there'll be a response. I really do. You heard Johnny Walters here last week in the show, really, really peeved with what happened in Cardiff. He called it embarrassing. I don't think he's the only one that would have felt embarrassed.
No.
So they're at home. It's nighttime kickoff. There'll be a good crowd. It's a competitive game. I think there'll be a good response. Mm. And I think they'll be really on it. And they understand that Martin O'Neill this week is being asked, you know, if you lose these two games, do you lose your job? No player really wants that to happen on their watch.
No, they don't.
You know,
so it's a reflection on them. I think everybody has to take a slice of this blame pie.
Yeah.
And the players are absolutely included in all this.
Yeah.
But you're right, you don't want to be going and repeating these types of performances. It's just...
No. So I'd be very hopeful. They certainly won't concede a glut of goals. It's can they nick one? So
that's the basis for our success. I've said this before. Yeah. It has to be.
Yeah.
We have to be tougher to beat. That's been us, isn't it, down through the years? Mm. Where it hasn't been the case in those last two competitive games against Denmark and Wales. So that needs to stop.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking nil-all, one-all, 2-1 territory, one way or another.
I would be okay with the type of performance going back to Copenhagen last year. So in between those two games, there was a little bit of, we were negative. Oh, we didn't really do this. We didn't do that.
Yeah.
We ground out a good result.
Yeah.
A lot of our good performances have been away from home.
Yeah.
So there's more of a template in those performances to bring into this game.
Well, there's a steady the ship feel about these this week. In Copenhagen, maybe there were greater expectations and there was more on the line. But given everything that's happened, this week has the feel of we need to settle things right down.
Yeah.
And if two drab nil-all or one-all draws is what it takes just to quiet everything down.
Yeah.
And so be it. Because it was very interesting in the press conference, O'Neill was asked twice, if these two games don't go well, is your job at risk? And he answered this, the follow-up question, by saying, well, look, in fairness, when the Stoke thing came up, I turned it down because I wanted to get involved in the campaign. The campaign starts in March, you know, and I'd be, he didn't say it, but he was basically intimating, I'd be pretty peeved if I've passed up on a club job and not been allowed to do the job that I've stayed to do, which starts in March, as much as this competition is another legitimate route to the European Championships. So I think he will view the next week as, let's steady the ship, let's not concede goals, we're unlikely to top this group anyway at this stage, and so let's just head into March feeling a bit better about life. And I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, and look, results are one thing, but it's the manner of the performances that hasn't been sitting well.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, we have no divine right to be beating these two nations because they have got, when everybody's fit, better players than us. I truly believe that. But you can't be losing the manner that we've lost in the last two games. So that needs to stop. Mm. So do I think his job is in the balance? Probably not. I think he's still got a decent relationship with the FAI. I don't think they're going to be gung-ho in terms of how they make the decision. They'll weigh things up. But obviously the financial implications would certainly play into that, that they've only freshly signed two-year deals.
It's very expensive to get rid of them.
The whole team would be a huge outlay, which we cannot afford.
Mm.
Especially without Dennis O'Brien's backing. So that's definitely one aspect to it. But the performances need to get better. It's as simple as that. And that starts at the back for me, without a shadow of a doubt. We need to be tougher to beat. I think at the top end of the pitch now, with the options we've got compared to last month, with the likes of Hogan, Maguire being available, Shane Long wasn't available last month. We've got different options up there. Obviously, Johnny Walters as that physical presence we will miss. This is the team I would play. I'm not quite sure who's doing those squad numbers, lads, but that's, I wouldn't have Matt Doherty as a five. And do you not know he's a wing-back? I would go, Randolph's nailed on in goal, isn't he? I would go, it's actually wrong, I wouldn't go Keogh. I would go John Egan and Duffy as the centre-half pairing.
Are you telling me that your team that we've put up is actually not your team?
There's one difference.
Okay, so you've John Egan in for Keogh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would put him up. So it's a balance of who's playing well at club level, who's confident, and also who's been performing for us. So Doherty, obviously in Seamus' absence, for me is a no-brainer, goes straight in ahead of Cyrus Christie.
One thing on Doherty, O'Neill was asked about him during the week, obviously, and certainly admitted he's in good form. He said the problem maybe has been for him is that he's been predominantly a wing-back, which is obviously slightly maybe to a right-back in a 4-4-2. Or 4-3-3. I can't think there's that big a difference. I think he'd figure it out fairly quickly, no? Is that a legitimate? But is it a big enough barrier for him to
be? No, it's not a big enough barrier. And like we've said this before on the show, that maybe his face just doesn't fit. I've heard Stephen Hunt speak about him before, about who he's played with him, he knows him quite well. Maybe his demeanour and his casual nature, laid back way, doesn't sit well. I think he's also said he's not the best trainer. So how do you impress when you go into a squad? Obviously, it's in training.
Yeah.
I've played with players down through the years that have, you know, Saturday 3 o'clock, bang, come to life. That's becoming more and more rare because you could get away with that years ago, whereas now you can't. Wearing the gloves, I don't think sits well with certain people.
Well, O'Neill said it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect of, is there a little bit of friction? If you go purely on performances and who's playing well, we said it last week, who's the players that are banging form? He is the player banging form.
Yeah.
He's just won the player of the month.
The last Irish player to win that is Robbie Keane in 07.
How long? 07.
Yeah.
Does that not say a lot?
We've only had
He's won ahead of Hazard, for Christ's sake.
We've only had four players of the month in the Premier League era.
Have we only had four?
Yeah. Which is, like I said, how have we only had four?
Jay Gavin must have been one, wasn't
it? How has Dennis Irwin not won a few? But then again, you can see how Dennis Irwin wouldn't win a few.
He's just 7.5 out of 10 every week.
Every week, yeah. So I presume Doherty's in, even for Martin O'Neill. I know that's your team.
I presume so, but so I wouldn't
Cyrus Christie is off the back of a terrible performance. Admittedly, O'Neill defended him. Did you like that, by the way O'Neill got involved and bit back at Alan Shearer?
I like the fact that he protected his player and backed his player.
Yeah.
I don't think there's real need? Did he get asked the question directly about Cyrus and the way
Alan Shearer to go
took him to shreds on Match of the Day?
I would think so, yeah.
Well, then he's probably within his rights to
mention to defend him and
have
record.
A little bit of a dig back.
I thought I was fine with it.
Look, you put yourself out there in the media, you've got to take a couple of jabs back at certain stages. I'm anticipating a few.
You're due a few.
I am due a couple of jabs. But he has to play.
Okay.
Right? So centre-half, Duffy for me, nailed on. He's just our Richard Dunn now.
Yeah, no, Duffy's a no-brainer. Why John Egan over Keogh?
All right, so Keogh, I thought last month, played very, very well. He's playing against Poland on the right-hand side of a three centre-half. He's playing very well for Derby County. So, in fairness, that team going up, that was my original team, and I just thought, I'm going with Egan, because I think when you look at what Sheffield United have done, you look at the way when he's being fit, what he did at Brentford, got his move to Sheffield United, playing centre of a three, the age he is, there has to be at some stage an evolution within the group of, okay, Richard Keogh might do well for us for these two games, and I totally take on board your point about this week, maybe stabilisation, so there is that element. I think Egan's ready. And he deserves a crack at the whip. And I also thought he did well last month. And he's brave on the ball. He's not afraid to demand the ball and organise and orchestrate from behind the ball.
Okay.
So I would put him in. Don't think he'll start, but I would start him. I think he's done magnificently well. Alongside Enda Stevens, who would also put in. Place up for grabs, obviously. Stephen Ward, nursing an injury.
Yeah.
Him, Derek Williams. I would go with Stevens again. Energy, the character that he's shown to get to where he is in his club career.
Yeah.
I don't think you've seen too much of him, have you?
No. Your midfield five, McLean's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Arthur comes in. You've Robinson on one side, and so you've Sean Williams and O'Dowda in.
Yeah.
Talk to us about those three.
So I suppose the obvious omission is Jeff Hendrick. And this kind of pained me a little bit, because I have been one of his biggest fans from day dot, coming through at Derby, the way his education went to Derby, with Clough giving him the nuts and bolts of being a central midfielder, a little bit more old school. And then Steve McLaren came in and fine-tuned him. And then he's gone to Burnley, which is probably a little bit of a hybrid in between both. He just hasn't hit the heights since the Euros. And I don't know why. Mm. At times he's played for Burnley as an advanced attacking midfielder and does a good job, but it's not his strength. And now, I don't think Dyche trusts him in a two-man midfield, which they've gone back to. And I think his Ireland performances haven't been at the level that they probably, well, they certainly should be, could be.
What might he be missing that Dyche mightn't like in a two-man midfield? He's 26 years old. I mean, he's made for box-to-box.
Yeah.
He should be able to do everything. So obviously, he's just not seeing things tactically.
Well, Jack Cork and Stephen Defoe last year were outstanding with Jeff ahead of them.
Yeah.
And they were very accomplished, both in possession and holding in a structured role within the midfield, staying behind the ball. And they built up a really good partnership. Now, Ashley, the Fours missed a good chunk of the end of last season, this season. And Ashley Westwood's come back in to the team ahead of Jeff.
Mm.
So what's he missing? He's probably not as accomplished in possession as those two players that I mentioned, in terms of the way that he has tried to evolve the way they're playing at Burnley. But I just love Jeff, and I would love him to get the license of one sitter, two box to box, like I've set up that team there with Sean Williams at the base of it. But I just think on current form, which I alluded to before, Callum O'Dowda, Harry Arthur are playing better than him.
Yeah.
Callum O'Dowda off the back of last month against Poland deserves a crack of the whip. And I think Harry Arthur for Cardiff, in what's been a tough start to their season, has been probably one of the shining lights.
It's just a pity how it's gone. Because 2 years ago, we were sitting here and we were saying, well, Robbie Brady and Hendrick and maybe another will make up the Ireland midfield for potentially the guts of 7 or 8 years. And they'll be great and they'll build a great partnership. And it was looking very rosy. Like, it is a pity, because we did come away from France thinking we had found something.
Yeah, and I remember being over in France, covering the games, and an Italian journalist was coming up to me and asking about Jeff Hendrick. Who's this Jeff Hendrick?
Yeah.
Everybody in Italy loves him.
Yeah.
Italian clubs are talking about Jeff Hendrick. And I was
right.
Like, yeah. I was like, happy days. Mm. Brilliant. And I've obviously was with that.
Yeah.
And I still think, look, it's not, he's 26. I know what you're saying about there should be a level of consistency. But I also think there's an element of when they go from club form and club tactics, which we're going to touch on in a little bit, playing in central midfield and what they're going to do and not do.
Yeah.
There's an element of, initially after the Euros, I thought it was he's feeling the pressure because he's been thrown into this new dimension of you're one of our new leaders. Maybe he struggled to deal with that. Then they moved to Burnley. But now he needs to get through that.
Me and Kev spoke to him on the show shortly after the Euros. Mm. And he was saying that just before the tournament, he hadn't been playing brilliantly either, actually. And he said some people close to him sat him down and said, this isn't good enough.
Yeah.
You're really going to have to up it, especially if you're going to go and play the European Championships.
I remember him down in Turner's Cross.
He wasn't good.
No, he really wasn't. And he was getting back up to speed. And
sure.
I think that might have been, you're right.
But people had to sit down with him then. Yeah. Like, is he the type that needs a bit of a kick up the ass, I wonder? Is he the type that needs people? I don't know him at all.
I really like him as a fella. And Robbie Brady.
Yeah.
And vast majority of other lads in that squad. But I do really like Jeff Hendrick. And I don't know whether it's a shake. I don't know whether it's the arm around the show. I don't know. I don't know him well enough to know what he needs.
Obviously, I don't
but
either.
I hope he gets it back because I am a big fan of his.
Yeah, but it was just notable that he did say that. Someone gave him a bit of a talking to before the Euros and it really just got him in the right mindset. Yeah. And you just wonder if the right few words could unlock something because, I don't know, he popped up in those championships. Remember the Sweden game and he's bashing one off the post, crossbar, and he's up and down.
Outstanding. Got the game by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah.
He was everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
that's what we need.
It's quite extraordinary that here we are and he's 2 years older, he's 26.
Yeah.
He's not in your team.
Yeah, I know. I feel quite sad about it.
So Williams and O'Dowda, you like what they're bringing?
Williams, O'Dowda. I think Williams as a holding midfielder, I would have him ahead of Myler because he gives you more in possession.
Okay.
Although Myler's never let us down. Solid, solid citizen.
Yeah.
That's what I would go in. Robinson out wide. McLean obviously picks himself because he's a huge catalyst for a lot of things we do.
Yeah.
And Shane Long coming back in. But then off the back of that, I think you've got real options from the bench with the likes of Maguire, 15, 20 minutes, depending on how fit he is.
Yeah.
Got Hogan. He'll be invigorated with Dean Smith going in at Villa. He was his manager at Brentford, who done really well under Dean Smith at Brentford, got the move to Villa. And Aidan O'Brien last month, I thought, did really well. So there's better options from the bench.
Yeah. All that said, James McLean was our top scorer in the last campaign. He's still the most likely candidate there to be the top scorer over the course of 10 games. And you're talking
probably
3 goals.
Yeah.
That's where we are.
So what does that say to you?
It says we're in big trouble.
No, and it says to me you need to be even tighter at the back.
Well, sure.
Difficult to break down. We need to get back to clean sheets. That's our basis to start with.
The bigger picture says we're in big trouble. Like, this is
stop, Joe, will you? Stop. Don't worry. We're going to have Kenny Cunningham on the line soonish, and he is going to be ultra positive. But before that, we spoke to John Walters last week and we asked him a couple of little questions. One in particular fascinated us, and Joe asked him about how, as a front two, maybe we could have dealt with Ethan Abbindu a little bit better.
We're kind of watching, you know, on our couch, very comfortable, and we're looking at a 17-year-old looking like Pirlo out there. And I guess you're kind of wondering, why is nobody sitting on him, or why is nobody smashing him, you know, 10 minutes in? And you're saying it was hard to get to grips with what they're doing. Maybe you could explain that to us, because I guess he was sort of vaguely in your vicinity at times.
Yeah, look, it was myself and Callum. I don't know, sometimes there's new players in there, sometimes not to point the fingers at anyone, because I was part of the team as well, but sometimes you're not quite at it, or you don't quite know, and you're half a second off it, and that's all it takes, half a second to miss or not time you're pressing right, or if you go and then stop, then you're caught in no man's land and you played around so easy, and that just seems to happen so often. And then as an experienced one, I've played against formations like that before, pretty similar, where they want to play, but they want to get the second midfielder out that's on the opposite side of the pitch. So they do all the playing, they make you run around. Chelsea used to do it a few years ago, and they want to get the second one out on the other side of the pitch with the full-back pushed high on and the winger tucked in.
Yeah.
They almost make a 3v2 against your left-back and the left midfielder almost. So as a striker, as you're playing as a two, you should, like I know this through experience, ignore them keeping the ball off the keeper, the centre-half, go and stand on the second midfielder.
Mm.
That's the one they want to get out. And if you leave the centre-half to bring it out, I know centre-halves are better now on the ball, but if you leave centre-half to bring it out, they're the ones that you want to bring it out and play either straight pass into the field or try and do a 50-yard diagonal and lose the ball.
Yeah.
So it was hard getting that across on the pitch. In a half time, he tried to say a bit more, but you know, when you're that many goals down, you're chasing it as well. You want to get something. Then in the end, you almost don't come out, stay in your own half because you don't want to get beat by any more. It's embarrassing. No more goals. But then there's obviously people pay to come and watch you. So all the fans travelled over, so you don't want to just be sitting in your half, and it's embarrassing to be doing that as well.
So that was Johnny Walters last week, and clearly frustrated, used the words Joe embarrassed. There was an element of, okay, Ryan Giggs' side, how are they going to set up? Can't really take into too much the fact of what they did in friendly games. So there was an air of, okay, let's have a look at what they're doing. Within 5 minutes, it's fairly evident they are playing an expansive 4-3-3. Mm-hmm. The front three, very, very narrow at times, with license to roam, Gareth Bale going into different areas. Now, I suppose the point I want to get onto here is Ethan Ampadu, after 5 minutes, looked like a Rolls Royce.
This guy?
Yeah. So he's the holding midfielder.
Yeah.
We're playing a compact 4-4-2.
Yeah.
And John made the point, on the pitch, you should be able to adapt. Now, sometimes it's easier said than done because the game's going on 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You're doing one thing as a front two. Your midfield's doing something different. You're not singing off the same hymn sheet. I felt it was fairly obvious. But again, easier said than done, sit up in the stand commentating on the game. So they were constantly getting out. The reason they were getting out was because the two centre forwards, which was Callum Robinson and Johnny Walters, were stuck in between. So wasn't it as if they weren't putting in the graft?
Yeah.
Likewise behind them. But what was happening was, as the ball's getting transferred, this was happening. He was coming into pockets because the midfield two for Wales were basically occupying our front two. So he was having the freedom of the park.
So the midfield two for Wales stayed up.
Yeah.
Occupied our two.
Occupied our two of Conor Hourihan.
Yeah.
And Jeff in the centre of the park. So basically, he was playing in between our front two and our centre midfielders. Freedom in the park to get on the play and dictate proceedings.
Yeah.
Now, at club level, which I alluded to before, if this was Burnley, this is what would happen, in my opinion. Or this is one way that you can stop that. So as a front two, you work in tandem, 10, 15 yards away. Ball's in the left side centre half. You want that going one way. So we put it to the left back, Ben Davis. Now, as that's going, one of the centre forwards ensures it doesn't go back to him.
Yeah.
He gets a little bit of pressure as he's travelling. But as that's happening, and as he's making up this type of distance, the second centre forward has to drop in on Ethan Ampadu.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to mark him on goal side, but he has to be in and around him to ensure...
Just block the pass. Yeah.
If it does go to him, into the centre, he's on him.
Yeah.
So, firstly, show him down this side of the pitch. So your 10 teammates behind the ball, 9 plus your other centre forward, knows it's staying in this side. So that's the onus and the responsibility on the centre forward. But also, the other centre forward doesn't let Ampadu have the run of the park.
Yeah.
And behind that, you're still in a very, very solid shape.
Yeah.
But there's that obviously wasn't happening.
Even the option for Christie to press up here and make this lad's life
exactly
even more miserable. Okay. That is unbelievably simple.
Yes, it is.
Like, there's Leinster Senior League teams who do that.
Why?
What the hell's going on?
Grey areas. Because we don't have any type of consistency in the way that we play. So we need to have, as soon as you come into a squad, this is how we play. Okay, you can get fine-tuned from game to game, depending on the opposition.
Yeah.
But these are basics. These really are basics. And what doesn't help, I suppose, is going from 4-3-3, 4-5-1, whatever way you want to call it, one sitter, two sitters and a 10 when Wes was playing, to a 4-4-2, which we played, and Callum Robinson, John Walters playing together for the first time.
And what were Robinson and Walters doing?
They were caught in between. So the ball was getting recycled. They weren't getting enough pressure because of the distances weren't right. But you have to give Wales credit. They made the pitch as big as possible.
Yeah.
And they also dropped really deep. So look at that now.
It's harder space to cover.
So hard.
Yeah.
So if you can't get pressure on that ball, what I will be saying here, and which I used to scream at Kevin Doyle and Robbie Keane, because we never had that luxury of...
I know what you're going to say.
Back.
Drop in. Let him have the ball here and press him from there.
Exactly.
Again, it's painfully simple.
Joe, it's
painfully simple that at no stage in that first 10-15 minutes when Ampadu's looking like Pirlo,
yeah,
that at worst, whatever. Okay, it's quite ambitious in a way to try and fix things. And let's press them and put them in a corner, and you sit in him, and you know, you come up, and let's really get tight to them. Yeah. Fair enough. It's kind of criminal, and the two lads on the sideline, that this couldn't happen. Where everyone says, right,
drop in
halfway line and back.
Give me the name of a team that plays like that. The best at it in the business. Narrow, compact, 4-4-2, and that type of shape.
Let it go. So why? I mean, again.
I know you're laughing because it seems that simple.
But just someone there has to say, right, we're being killed.
Yeah.
That 17-year-old looks unbelievable. Let's just drop. Yeah. There's too many spaces, there's too many gaps.
But there was more issues involved in that. So if we bring it on a little bit, yeah. So we take these out of the equation, right? So let's have a look at the back four and the front three for Wales, right? So there's our narrow, compact 4-4-2. We had Joe Allen, midfield, marauding on, Ampadu at the base of it, dictating proceedings, right?
Remind me who was there with them.
It's lost me.
Okay, Grant.
Who's in midfield?
Midfielder number three.
Joe Allen, lads, can we remember? It'll come back to me.
Yeah.
So basically, this was the front three, okay?
Yeah.
So this was happening time and time again. Gareth Bale started as the focal point, okay?
Yeah.
On the right was David Brooks, who's doing really well at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And on the left was Tom Lawrence from Derby County. They are clearly given licence to go and roam,
yeah.
Okay? So that's fine. As a back four, all you need to do is stay in place. If you cannot affect it, stay in your places. Bale was coming into these areas. Lawrence was taking that place. If you actually think back to the goal, the Conor Roberts goal, our centre-halves got dragged into these areas here.
Yeah.
And this whole space was left just vacant where they were able to go and exploit.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're dealing with players like Christian Eriksen, and in particular Gareth Bale, you have to defend as units. So that's just the back four. Ideally, in front of that, you want one sitter. We didn't do that. But you need to make these spaces
small.
Yes.
Yeah.
The more you get dragged and the quicker teams play against you, that's deadly. Mm. And they're not just one-dimensional now, Wales. They're able to play with these type of players as well, where they are very, very effective. And the rotation that they showed causes so many problems in these areas here.
Mm.
So there was that problem with Ampadu at the back, but also in these areas, it was poor. Really, really poor.
It can't be the first time our back four have come up against a front three who like to drop in to midfield spaces and rotate.
No, and then it's just a knock-on, isn't it? So we've spoke about Johnny Walters, top end of the pitch, not quite. And do you remember him saying about if you're half a second off,
yeah,
you multiply that by 10,
yeah,
then you've got problems.
It gets scary,
you've got real, real problems.
Yeah.
So that's out of possession. In possession, we know about how difficult it can be for us.
And their fullbacks were good.
Fullbacks
and they really
good.
Pushed on as well.
And then what they also did was, like, these are simple patterns, Joe. Simple patterns that youth team players, and I've spoken before about the detail that's needed to give to these players, our players, that I don't think they're getting, right? So the detail is, Brooks comes inside. What do you think when Brooks comes inside? Where's the space for the fullback?
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Got it for his goal. It was over this side where Bale had Duffy and Clark dragged into these areas. Brooks was involved. Giggs has given him the license to go on. He backs up play.
And I presume what you want there is him still not getting dragged out too far and whoever's in the left wing going
back
with them.
You want us to remain as that unit.
Yeah, so
are they going to score a goal from out there? No, they're not. But when you get dragged out into these areas, if he hasn't tracked and you get dragged out into no man's land, then it quickly becomes a back three.
So rule number one at all times is protect this unit, the integrity of this unit. Don't have players getting dragged.
Yeah.
If the right back's gone, our left winger goes with him, vice versa on the other side. If Bale drops in, let a midfielder picking up.
Yeah.
Protect this, protect these spaces. They're not being drilled. They're not.
Well, it certainly doesn't look like it. And a lot of what you see looks like it's off the cuff because, let's not forget, he's 5 years in the job, okay? There has to be, take it at club level, right? I thought there was a really good article in the paper this week about we are the Norwich of football. Did
so
you read
much,
it?
Yeah. I didn't actually get a chance to read it. Dan McDonald.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Basically, all the players that we have in the squad, places where their respective clubs are in the league, in the Premier League, the Championship, divide them, we're ninth in the Championship. Okay. Daniel Farke, Norwich manager. A little bit of criticism last year. They tore up the rule book, the route that they were going as a football club, a technical director, very European. He's coming from Germany.
Yeah.
Recruitment changed. Big earners went. People like Wes Hoolan, Russell Martin. Bang, we're starting from... So there was going to be problems last year.
Yeah.
But you can see what they are trying to do.
And I would say, in fairness to O'Neill and to Roy, they get less time with the players, so you can probably only work on certain basics. But we probably are talking basics here. The other thing, I know you want to get on to Kenny.
Yeah.
Like, we talked to Walters about when Ireland do have the ball.
Yeah, look, just briefly, I want to get on to this because I do want to get to Kenny. So if we bring that back to the Welsh back four, right,
yeah,
with the front two, for instance, right? So I'm talking about options on the ball. And look, I've been there. I've been there in the Irish shirt where
we're sitting here in a studio saying, why can't we pass the ball?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So I just want to break it down very, very simply. Stick Conor Roberts back in there. So I see a lot of...
So this is us in our 4-4-2 shape.
So where's the...
He's left back.
You got two right backs in there, John.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
One,
there we
two,
go. So
three.
There's the front three, right?
Okay.
So here's our narrow 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Okay. So Seamus Coleman, I see a lot when he gets into these areas and advanced.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have options on. It's never easy for us. And do you know why Wes Houlihan shone for us?
Because of his movement off the ball.
And what he was able to do on the ball.
Well, obviously
drop
that. Yeah,
the shoulder,
yeah,
create the space for himself. Right. I could never do that. Jeff Hendrick, Conor Hourihan, Glenn Whelan.
Mm.
Most of the midfielders need options to pass to.
Yeah.
Seamus is able to, when under pressure, if he doesn't have that option on, to manipulate the ball, drive in his little meandering way with power and pace,
yeah,
and create and create that time for himself. So then the picture opens. The vast majority of our players can't do that.
No.
So they need options on the ball. So if you look at Seamus Coleman, right back, where's your options, okay?
So show me what we are doing. Not what we should be doing. What are we doing now? So Coleman has the ball here.
I don't think he knows what he's doing, realistically.
You don't think our right winger?
Our right winger won't know what he's doing. If he cuts the ball off to the line, the Welsh winger, does he move again? Our midfield, is there any type of movements where one runs off and one runs in to receive the ball? I don't think so.
Okay, I would say... That shape you have us in now, 4-4-2,
yeah.
Coleman has the ball. I would say what we are doing when Coleman has the ball is exactly that. Nothing's happening.
So we're like mannequins to a degree.
I honestly think within a 4 or 5 metre circumference around every player, I think our two midfielders want to, and I think the nearest to Coleman sort of half shimmies over and says in a half-hearted way,
yeah,
I'll take it, but obviously I'm being marked, so don't give it to me.
Yeah.
But I just need to show everyone,
so
I am sort of showing.
Before you move on to that, say for instance that's Conor Hourihan. What he wants then, he will be brave and he will show for that angle, right?
Yeah.
But what he needs, if he's getting severe pressure from Joe Allen or Ampadu in central midfield, what he needs is a simple pass off. So he needs
right winger to check in.
Well, let's not forget that was Cyrus Christie against Wales.
Yeah.
He was not natural in terms of having the ball with his back to play, which was going to be one of the issues.
So what tends to happen, especially if it's not Coleman, say it's Stephen Ward.
Yeah.
Long ball.
Yeah.
Invariably a little clip,
right,
and they hope someone gets off him. So that is, I would say, in the main, that is what's happening. I would say other teams, I mean, we're talking about the difficulty for Callum Robinson and Walters to try and press this Welsh team. I would say when other teams are doing their homework on us, I would say they sit around and they say, this may just be the easiest team in the world to press. If we press these, they're in trouble. What should we be doing? And the crucial question, what should we be doing with the quality of player that we have?
Right, so
you can't ask them to do what they can't do.
If it's a 4-4-2 like it is there, right? Three or four options, which John Walters alluded to on the VT from last week.
Yeah.
Very simple. One of the midfielders comes and shows square, so that's your security blanket, right? Ultra security blanket.
When you say security blanket, you mean so if the ball's lost, this midfielder's behind the play very quickly.
He's in relation to being able to get it back.
In.
But he's also available as an option.
Yeah.
So even if he's under pressure, that ball can go square into a midfielder. And if he is under severe pressure, he can hit it first time into this area here, where we will have willing runners if the detail is given to them.
Yeah.
Shane Duffy to go back to, but they're the negative options. The positive options, your winger starts wide, but again, this is an issue because it was Cyrus Christie. If it's Callum Robinson, if it's Callum O'Dowda, who was on the far side, they start wide, you can't get it to his feet because of the Welsh winger's position. He rolls inside. Can you play it to him inside when he gets on the half turn and he gets at the Welsh back?
Because their left full doesn't really
ben
want
Davis
to.
He doesn't really want
Davis
to go
doesn't
there.
Really want to go in there because that opens up space for Walters to run into.
Right. So that ball's not on. So he comes inside. Christie, Ben Davis follows him, so it's not on.
Okay.
Where's the space, John? There you go.
In here.
Callum Robinson, Shane Long, maybe not so much John Walters, Aidan O'Brien. they cannot, Hogan, Maguire, they can all make this run. So they start as the front two.
Yeah.
When that happens and the timing has to be right, it's a simple ball down into the channel. There we go.
See, I mean, if you're a right full, that's such a nice menu of options. And it, again, what strikes me again is this is pretty simple. So he's here. There might be nothing inside. He then looks for Christie to make a run inside.
Yeah.
You hope it takes Davis with him. And then he knows he's got a round the corner run and it's up the line. And if you're the right, if you're the right full or the left full and the same thing's happening here, there's a sense of calm. Mm. And I would presume the other thing that happens pretty quickly is the first time it happens, say Davis goes with our player and the ball goes there.
Yeah. The next time, what will Ben Davis do?
Ben Davis is going to stay. Yeah. And then Cyrus Christie, you're on the ball and you can get turned.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're in their back four.
So then,
and then you've
pause,
got more options.
Pause on that, right? Yeah. So, for instance, he stays narrow, he stays compact. Cyrus Christie comes in. Let's not forget Ethan Ampadu, who's the holding midfielder. He locks on then to Cyrus Christie rolling inside because they've cottoned onto it.
Yeah.
They've cottoned onto it or it's come from the sideline. Giggs says, be aware of that. I don't want Ben Davis coming out. I want to stay as a back four.
Yeah.
He comes into this area. So Seamus Coleman's in, right? Comes inside. Nothing wrong with this ball. Dropping it in. Especially if it's a John Walters, in and around him with quality.
Yeah.
And then what happens is your left winger gets involved. Your right winger is in contention anyway because of his first run.
Yeah.
Bang. And you're in good possession, 30 yards from the opposition
and
goal.
And the key thing is then you have four Irish players close to each other in the opposition half.
And not 20, 30 yards between all of them.
Keith, I have to say again, I watch it. I'm not a professional footballer. I've played Leinster Senior League.
And you get it.
Like, fairly, like, I kind of feel like we're good to go out and try that now.
On the subject
of
this, though.
Why are we not doing those patterns? Because we'll say on the radio on Tuesday night or on Thursday, you'll come on and you'll say, I didn't see patterns I liked. So that, it's lovely to get you to illustrate what you're talking about. None of that's rocket science.
Yeah. But this goes back to where I think our fans are realistic. They know where we are. They don't expect us to be like Barcelona, like Manchester City.
Yeah.
They know. But if that ball is going that little bit direct to John Walters, what's happening behind it? Because as soon as the ball leaves Seamus Coleman, Matt Doherty, whoever it is, as soon as it leaves his foot, the left winger knows, bang, I'm inside.
Yeah.
We're keeping them in. Even if it's not a good ball, we have them in their half and we know how good we are at second balls, at scrapping. And then when that happens, your back four comes up.
Yeah.
So the distance between the front players and the back players isn't 60 yards, it's 35, 40 yards.
Totally. I would put it to you even, those patterns you've talked about.
Yeah.
So say we're not doing Christie in off the wing and looking for it. Say we're not having this fella show. Say we are as basic as Coleman, Stephen Ward, Enda Stevens. Yeah. When you get the ball, lump it long to, say it's Johnny Walters ideally. We don't quite have that physical presence now. Shane Long coming ahead.
Yeah.
So say it's lump it forward to Shane Long. I'm actually okay with how basic that is. As long as this fella knows, James McLean, this fella knows the right winger, say it's Christie. And when he gets the ball, instead of even worrying Christie about showing in, they just turn on their heel, they start running up towards where the ball is going, i.e.
get
to Shane Long.
Balls.
I'm absolutely fine with this being pumped up once Shane Long has two players running off and to flick it to. Whereas too often we see McLean back here, our right winger back here, Coleman lumps up the ball.
Nothing is in cohesion.
And it's isolated. Yeah. Like the ball goes up and say he wins the header or holds it up, he's isolated, he's swamped.
Too often on his own.
So again,
and by the way, this goes very easily from a 4-4-2 into a holding midfielder, which I said with Sean Williams, Arthur or Hendrick, O'Dowda, the narrow four. So as that ball goes up to your one centre forward, Shane Long, which I think we should go with, stay high, occupy the two centre halves, wait for the opportunity, goes up. And look what you've got from midfield.
Yeah.
Two energetic legs, aggressive midfielders, wingers, whatever side it's on, joining in.
Yeah.
And the other one balancing up play.
But they all have to know Coleman is probably going, or say on Saturday's case, it's Doherty. They need to know in advance he's probably going to clip it long so they can turn on their heel early.
Yeah.
It's no good if he's kicked it and then they start running.
No, exactly. The plan needs to be in place as to what you're going to do,
how
are you going to do it. But I tell you what, on the flip side of that, if we start doing that against Wales, it's horrible to play against because what happens in midfield now, you're so used to closing down players to feet.
Yeah, you have to turn around.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's not just the same for centre-halves. It's the same for centre midfielders.
I'm totally okay if we become Wimbledon and as effective
we're
as Wimbledon.
We're not going to become Wimbledon.
I'm totally okay with it. Wimbledon had a plan.
But that ball, you're going about lumping it forward. It's just a clip over the opposition
it's
midfield.
30 yards. It's 20, 30 yards.
Yeah. Clip over the midfield into our centre-forward's body. So he's the favourite to retain possession, not the centre-half. It's not a fight ball. And we've got the players to be able to do that. No big issue.
I hope we see some of this.
Well, so do I. But...
Right in 5 years.
But, okay, we've got Kenny on the phone. Kenny, thanks for joining us, buddy.
All right, Kate, I need you to explain your comment. We're not going to be the next Wimbledon. What's all that about? You need to be more me at the
I think you're fine. That was
a personal affront to that comment.
Joe was bringing Wimbledon up, and I know that's a
Joe was
heart.
Perfectly happy to go down the Wimbledon Rio. No, you had a problem with it, though. You need to explain yourself now to an ex-Wimbledon man.
Well, I was saying I would be happy for us to go down the Wimbledon route because they had a plan. They had a plan. They knew what they were doing.
Keith's response to it.
Would you play like Wimbledon?
Oh,
Ken?
No, Joe. Oh, no, we won't be going down the Wimbledon route. Oh, no, Joe. No, no, it'll be as bad as that.
Keith wants to see Ireland go down the St. Pat's route, Kenny.
You're letting there Keith off the hook there,
Kenny.
I won't push it. I won't labour the point. I let him away with it this time.
Okay, buddy, thank you. Right, so on a serious note, still a lot of negativity around here going into the two games for obvious reasons. I was chatting to you yesterday. You're a little bit more optimistic, maybe.
Yeah, I'm always a little bit optimistic coming into the games. I always look forward to the games. I'm always interested in terms of personnel on the pitch. You know, tactically how the manager's going to set the team up. Keith, how the team functions. A lot of stuff that you've been talking about there. So that kind of always gets the juices flowing a little bit. Now I know we're in a little bit of a rut at the moment and have been probably for some time. But I don't quite buy into the pessimism. I can understand it to a point in terms of you look at the results I've made in the last 12 to 18 months, but I still look at some of the personnel that we have available to us, and particularly some of the younger talents sprinkled around the squad, and that kind of gives me hope and always gives me a little bit of confidence in terms of what's coming down the road. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. Both of these games coming in quick succession against, you know, good quality opposition. Opposition we needn't be scared of. So, I'm looking forward to how the players acquit themselves, and in particular how Martin sees it and how he sets up the team, because over the course of the summer it looked as if he'd made a conscious decision to commit himself to kind of 3-5-2 formation. We saw it at Turkey, we saw it during the summer, the two games, and having invested so much during those games in terms of the system, I was surprised he kind of rolled it back again and played the way we did against Wales. I've no problem with the 4-4-2 formation. In a lot of respects I think it suits us, but having played a number of the previous games with the kind of 3-5-2, and as I said, having invested so much into it, I was surprised we flipped back to the 4-4-2 formation against Wales. So again, it'd be interesting how Martin sees it over the next two games.
Ken, with the personnel we have available, and you've alluded to, we've played it, I think it's three of the last four friendlies, even against Poland. Would that be something you would persevere with, or do you like this system with what we have available?
I think we can play both. For a long time now, for some years actually, I've looked at the individual attributes of the players coming into the squad and thought 3-5-2 is an option for us. I like to see us play two players high up the pitch, Keith, in natural partnership high up the pitch. And if an orthodox 4-4-2 and a 3-5-2 gives you the luxury of doing that, obviously. Now, obviously, with the 3-5-2, the wing-backs, you don't give yourself, for me, you don't get the combinations that you would down the side of the pitch. That you would in a natural 4-4-2 with a full back in and wingers playing wide and opportunities to like little combinations down the side and little triangles, a little bit more responsibility on the wing backs. Don't get as much help on their outside, but of course you have then the luxury of having the extra player in central midfield. So there's kind of pluses and minuses to it, but I think we can play both. But of course, whichever system you play, Keith, as you've suggested, you need to roll it out. You need to roll out on the training pitch. You need to drill it. And players need to have clear pictures in their head when they're going onto the pitch, what's expected of them individually and particularly collectively as a unit in possession and out possession. That's what, it's not really a successful team. That's what every team does, you know, club level, international level. Every team's prepared. Every team's got those clear pictures in their head and like a game plan of sorts before they go on the pitch.
Kenny, centre-half-wise, I think we're probably all in agreement, Shane Duffy's nailed on. If he does go with the back four, which I think he probably will, Who do you think should partner him? Who do you like along there? Because I've from what I've seen this season and his evolution and last year at Brentford, I really like John Egan. I thought he did quite well last month in the centre of a three against Poland as well. And so did Richard Keogh now, in fairness to him.
Yeah, he looked composed. John, against Poland. I agree with you there, Keith. Looked to get on the ball, kept it simple. Occasion didn't get to him. Looked very solid in that area of the pitch. And that was a 3-2. Shouldn't be too much of a difference. And I think because you've got somebody as dominant as Shane Duffy at centre-half, I think you're able to get away with somebody not as physically as imposing. I mean, obviously, I was looking up to play the games that I did for around that centre-half, but physically, Keith, I couldn't dominate. You know, in terms of even heading ability and stuff like that, I needed somebody a little bit more dominant alongside me. And I was fortunate to have that. The likes of Gary Breen, Richard Dunn, powerful player, dominant in the air. So I could kind of, I could work around, I could drop off and kind of play around those type of players. You know, that was a kind of partnership would suit me. That was the type of centre-half I liked playing alongside. So with somebody who's physically dominant and early, particularly with Shane Duffy playing there, you know, you don't necessarily have to be looking for a 6'2", 6'3", physically imposing, necessarily centre-half to play alongside him. So he's got some options there, like Kieran Clarke, obviously. Daryl Lennon, I think, has done no harm, yeah, hasn't put a foot wrong. Derek Williams is an interesting one for me. Played against France. We haven't seen him since, but obviously he's playing in a three, Keith. You probably know better than me at Blackburn. I believe he's played in a three across the back and in a left-back position. Well, wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of him, because he acquitted himself quite well against France, although it was a difficult game for the team as a whole. And Longy as well at Burnley. So we've got some good options there, Keith. I wouldn't be overly concerned about any one of those players. I'll be happy with any one of those players that I've mentioned. Richard Keogh as well, his experience to play alongside Shane, that wouldn't be an issue for me.
And the other end of the pitch, Ken, when we look at last month, no Shane Long, no Scott Hogan, no Sean Maguire, Johnny Walters was available, unfortunately he's not going to be this month. Aidan O'Brien coming into the Poland game, scoring, doing really well. Now, not always in the team at Millwall, but he certainly shot to prominence with them over the last 18 months or so. Even there, when you were talking about the combination play and a two, is there two there that you'd like to put together potentially?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of potential. Just because they haven't had game time together, there's always that question mark, Keith. Callum Robinson has come in, Keith, again, coming in difficult circumstances. Hadn't seen a huge amount of him play at Preston, but the small amount of time he's in with the squad, I like what I've seen with him. Hasn't been a huge amount of involvement in the game for obvious reasons. We found ourselves on the back foot and dominated in a number of our previous games, but I like what I've seen from him. He looks a good athlete, moves well over the ground, technically looks a good touch, like good body language in terms of confidence, how he carries himself, seems to have a good eye for the game, good picture in terms of what's around him. So initial kind of perceptions of him have been good, so I'd like to see him potentially get another start. I mean, Shane, we know exactly what we get from Shane Long. I mean, there's an argument there for one of your more experienced centre-forward, Shane, alongside another, whether that's Callum Robinson or Sean McGuire coming back from injury. He may not get a start, maybe under orders from Preston, and we probably see him at some point in more of a cameo role. Aidan, like you said, acquitted himself very well, ran the channels, wholehearted player, got himself a great goal, got himself into the right area. And it's the type of goal, Keith, you've touched upon it with Joe, in terms of when we do get a bit of width into our team. Against Poland, there was Callum O'Dowd on that particular occasion, although left foot and getting himself down the right-hand side, chopping it back onto his left foot. And it wasn't overly complicated the game, Keith, you know what I mean? It was just chopping back onto your left foot, good quality delivery, beating the man at the near post, but putting the ball into a good area and just getting people attacking the space. That's exactly what Aidan O'Brien did. And that's not easy to defend against. It's simple football, but that's tough. And I know as a centre-half to defend, they're good quality deliveries from wide areas into those type of areas, into the box, with people attacking those areas who are brave and prepared to put their head on it. That's not easy to defend against. So again, I think that's potentially a strength of ours. So if Martin continues with the 4-4-2, I've no problem with that. And if we can get a bit of width into that team, whether it's James McLean, Callum O'Dowd, or really are the two who stand out in terms of wide midfielders, Keith. We've a lot of kind of central midfielders, maybe number eights, holding midfielders, but not too many players who offer you maybe natural width in those wide midfield areas. Maybe Callum Robinson could maybe offer a little bit in a wide midfield role, but I'd love to see us get the ball forward as early as possible, a bit like you were talking to there. Joe mentioned today he's no problem with that. I've no problem getting the ball back to front early. Good quality, the better the quality delivery, the better. Get a foothold in the last third of the pitch and get your forward players involved, get your wingers involved, get your full-backs supporting from behind, clever little combinations and getting those good quality deliveries into the box. And generally, Keith, we've been good at that over the years. Players are prepared to get in behind, down the sides, deliver the ball into the box. And we've always had centre-forwards who are brave, good headers of ball, who attack the ball into the box, totally committed. John Walters, Shane Long, James McLean attacking that back post. Really dangerous when we can get any type of good delivery into the box. So, as I said, whether we'll see that formation, I don't know. If we do, that's the type of football I'd like to see with that particular formation, because we can't pass teams to death in the central area of the pitch, really, you know, with a midfield two, predominantly against an opposition three. There's no point playing in there where you're outnumbered. So you look to beat the press, you look to get it back to front as early as you can. Absolutely nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Yeah, and play in the opposition half and play facing the opposition goal.
Kenny, two very quick ones for me before you go. The clock's against us here. What two results?
That's you and Keith went to the tactics bar for that.
I know. I'm sorry.
I wish I had a camera. I could actually see it. I was listening to it on the phone, but I couldn't actually see it.
We'll send it to you. You'll be able to get it on YouTube. You'll be able to get it on your phone.
No, it's too complicated. Yeah.
No, it's not. I'll send you the link and you can watch it back on YouTube very easily. So two quick questions. One, everybody, I think, around the setup could do with two good results here just to calm down things, because it's been a messy few months. Realistically, what are we looking at here? What two results would kind of steady the ship a little bit?
Just performances for me, Joe. Performances leads to the kind of results that you want. That's where we have to concentrate, performance levels and improving our performance levels. Once we do that, in terms of probably the things that the two of you have been talking about for the past 20 minutes, in terms of those little patterns of play, you know, getting the ball into good areas, plenty of crosses, shots, good combinations on the edge of the box, and obviously defending well, nice and compact. Everybody having a clear picture in their head how we're going to defend as a unit, high press, low press, wherever it is. Everybody understands their roles, and that leads to good performances. And that's what I'm after, first and foremost, over the next two games. If we can get the performance levels at a higher level as they have been, well, for me, results always take care of themselves. It's never the opposite around for me. Never quite understand managers who say, well, it's all about results, performance doesn't matter. Mm. That doesn't make sense to me. One naturally leads to the other. So performance levels to improve, I think that's an obvious. Certainly after the Welsh game, Poland was a little bit better. I thought the structure looked a little bit better in terms of the team shape, albeit you could argue maybe Poland in terms of their intensity levels in the first hour of the game. But generally speaking, I thought the shape looked a little bit better. The lads looked a little bit more comfortable in their skin in that Poland game. So again, build on from that and hopefully offer more of an attacking threat at home. More shots on target, more goal scoring opportunities, which is what we want to see, while obviously keeping the door shut at the other end.
What's your last question, grenade launcher?
Final question is, you've obviously been linked pretty heavily with the St. Pat's job here. Is it something you're considering or interested in?
Coming out from left field here. Purely an artist conversation, I was told. No, look, Joe, I've always been interested. Look, the League of Ireland has always interested me. You know, like most artist players, I've got a natural affiliation to the league. I enjoy watching the football. I enjoy the people involved in the league. So, yeah, if an opportunity presents itself going forward, I'll give it serious consideration. That hasn't been the case before. My kind of personal situation has meant I really hasn't been an option for me in the past. But potentially, look, going forward, if something was to come up, I'd give it serious consideration. So, we'll wait and see.
Okay. And have you been talking with St. Pat's or...?
Oh, but that's another question. How many was that last question you said, Joe, didn't you, Keith?
I'm into my last few.
Who's bossing that show?
Keith, all Keith. You can Keith say no boss. Comment. Keith, if you prefer not to talk, there's no issue. I'm just asking in case you're happy to say, have you been talking with them or considering Pats?
That's all I'll say. Look,
that's
I'm
fair enough.
To speak to clubs. Look, there's not too many opportunities there at the moment. Some good quality managers in place already. So, as I said, all I can say, if the opportunity presents itself, I'm open-minded and I'm willing to listen to people and have a conversation with people.
Okay. But I presume, regardless, your off-the-ball commitments will not be affected. That's the most important thing, right?
I'm the first thing to go. Is that what you're pushing me for one of these jobs, Joe?
I want you to come out and say I'm not interested. I've got my off-the-ball commitments.
You're desperate to get me out of that studio, aren't you?
No, I'd miss you. Right, I won't ask you any more questions then.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate you joining us. I can only apologise for Joe. Sorry.
Take care.
See you, pal. This is turning into good cop, bad cop.
Are we journalists or are we not? Are we journalists or are we not? We've got to ask the questions.
You are.
You know.
You are.
Can't be can't be friends with these people.
I am these friends
people.
With them.
Kenny.
Oh, yeah.
These, sorry.
These minions. I can't believe you said that.
Even if we are friends with them, we still have to ask them the questions. Oh, that's interesting. He's open to it. So there's something in
and
it. It'd be great. It'd be great for the league to have
what it's worth.
The former Irish captain.
Appointment.
Yeah. The former Irish captain coming back, managing a team would be fantastic. It'd be great.
Joe, have I got time to chat championship, or is this going to be 2 weeks in a row where we've
don't
binned
have time.
It off?
Josh, are we out of time?
2 minutes.
Oh, no. We're out of time.
We're getting into it.
I can't believe
Joe,
we're out of time.
Just because you love the championship.
It's the international break.
Snob.
We've got nothing to say about it. It's international break.
Right, quick whiz through. Doug Ellis, by the way, on a sad note, has passed away. 94 years of age,
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
Obviously, long-term affiliated with Aston Villa. Big news for them, though, is Dean Smith gone in as manager, which I think will be a really good appointment. Most people will be thinking, well, who's Dean Smith? That wouldn't be if very accustomed to the championship. Done really well at Walsall. Got to move to Brentford. Has got them flying in a model where they don't spend big money. Now, Villa have spent some serious cash in the last few years, which has ended up getting them into this type of trouble. Very, very good appointment for them. And I know John Terry's gone in as part of the coaching team. So I think it's a good appointment for them.
Yeah, listen.
I would imagine they will push right up the league. Where are they?
No need to tell me, Keith.
You're an egg. You're such an egg. Oh, where are they in the league? They're 15th. Look, it's so condensed, the league this year. I genuinely think for the first time in years and years, it's wide open.
Okay.
Like, if you look at Stoke as well, just above them in 14th, won the last two in a bit of a tricky position with Gary Rowett going in. Didn't start the season particularly well. It seems to have got them going. Such big hitters in that league. Bielsa ball starting to unravel.
Is it? Yeah.
Little bit, but it's just down to the squad size.
Okay.
I had a Leeds fan coming up to me in the airport last week and saying, why do I hate Leeds? Like, have you not heard me bigging up Leeds?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Really?
Fans hear what they want to hear sometimes. I'm bigging them up. The one issue I have with Leeds is the squad size isn't big enough to sustain what they're trying to do. He's hardly changed the starting lineup, barring injuries.
Yeah.
They've just dropped off a little bit, but there's some big hitters up there. Sheffield United have done magnificent. John Egan, Enda Stevens, central to that. Also, McGoldrick banging in goals for them after his move from Ipswich in the summer. So he'll probably feel like he's warranted an Irish call-up, scoring goals in the championship. But wide open. Derby County, Shea obviously there with Frank Lampard in eighth position. But if you look at that, 25th top of the league, down to 17th and 12th position. It's so condensed with a quarter of the season way through. So I've whizzed through a little bit of championship there just to appease me.
I'm thrilled for you.
And you, what'd you say, Joe? Yeah, we'll have a proper championship section next week until...
When I go to see Rotherham
when is he?
To Preston in the last weekend of October, I will report in here the following week on the full
Can I get you
experience.
On the next week then?
Yeah, I'll give you the full championship experience. Meat pie, pint, all the good stuff.
Bovril.
Bit of Bovril.
Bit of Bovril by then. Are you going out on the Friday night though? Will it be a hungover Saturday or is that...
Be a few cobwebs, but nothing...
Not major?
No.
Any golfing?
No.
Okay.
That was a pleasure.
Enjoyed it. Whiz through as usual. Fingers crossed for the next.
Yeah, no, I mean, because you're sick of the negativity and you'd like things to pick up again. And everybody's in a better mood when the Irish team are going well. It's great that Eriksen's out. I do think we'll see a response. I think there will be a response to the Welsh game. Generally, Irish sides have done that. So if not, if it goes belly up for whatever reason, then it's a very serious situation. But I don't think that'll happen.
No, I expect some kind of performance, and I definitely don't think it'll be the same outcome as the last two games where we faced these two nations. But thank you for coming in. Where's your award, by the way? You didn't bring it in.
Come on. Stop.
Come on.
Stop now.
Right, that's all we got time for. We will be back next Thursday. Joe's back in as bad cop. We shall see you then.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.